The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 The Talker. I'm here with Pat Devaney, my husband, co-host. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you today?
I'm doing well also. Thank you for asking. How was your ride over?
Oh, it was fine. It was good. How was yours?
Perfect.
No construction?
No construction. Well, there's a lot of construction out there. I just didn't hit it. And nobody that was really...
driving slow,
along.
Like a zombie.
Why do I always get behind the slow driver, but behind me is the overly aggressive driver? Why does that happen?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. We'll figure it out.
I'm trying to teach you something.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many exceptional realtors who've been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab we have on top of our pages. You get a live view at Dunmore Corners. You never know what you're going to see 24/7. Get a lot of hits on those cameras.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobile-friendly J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, JRuddy.com, where we also have all the podcast apps that we feature the radio show on, and we're all over social media, so check us out.
Okay, so Jackie, this week, who's our guest?
D.C.
D.C.
Our chief editing officer, CEO.
At least in this room. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Chief editing officer.
Yeah, you thought you were going to have an easy day, didn't you? You did.
You did not get a raise, but you get a raisin title.
All there right.
All right.
That's what I like. I've seen that all over LinkedIn. All sorts of great things you see on LinkedIn. And one of them is at least get yourself a title promotion.
What is with this? I'm noticing it at my office, too. People come in and they want a title.
Yeah.
Does that make somebody feel important?
I suppose it's something I can validly put on my resume. Hey, I was upped from,
or your business card.
I was upped from, exactly.
Your social media profile.
From production manager to chief editing officer, chief executive editing officer or something like that,
But in real estate, all these designations that people have after their names, they have to work for them, take classes. Right?
Yes.
So the recognition.
Yeah, of course.
So if I could just, instead of doing the work and taking the classes, if you could just slap one on me, that would be much easier.
Well, it's like when I see on Facebook one of them, a friend or a connection, and it says digital, what does it say? Digital marketing expert or something?
Digital maker?
Digital
creator.
Oh, creator.
Yeah,
it's a
creator.
That's it.
That's the magic word for everything.
Influencer.
Now. Yes, influencer and creator.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. And I want to ask that question, like what makes you an influencer? I mean, somebody that's famous,
right?
Doing coaching or something like that, I could certainly understand, but your everyday person.
I would like to ask someone who calls themselves an influencer, what threshold of number of followers do you have to cross to officially be called an influencer? Or how many followers, how many impressions, how many likes do you have
to stack up
okay. in order to officially be called an influencer? Is there a goal? Is there a rule? And they'll tell you, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's become part of a lot of people's lives, right? Social media.
Mm-hmm. Social media is, they say it's the future.
Right. And when it first, well, I could remember when I was first getting into it, it was around before then. What was the start of it? I never got into it. Before Facebook.
MySpace.
Yeah. MySpace. Yes.
That's the one.
Yeah. Yes, MySpace. Remember those days?
MySpace was my dud. It was a big dud.
MySpace was how I met my girlfriend, Kayla, of 15 years now.
Okay.
Met her on MySpace in 2006.
All right, good.
MySpace worked for me.
Yes, you always have fond memories of MySpace.
Exactly. Right? Every time I go on her page, there'd be a new song by The Cure or a Coldplay that would automatically start playing. I'm like, I'm home.
Well, a lot of people in my industry at the time, brokers that were around for some time, said that social media, they were warning people that were taking advantage of it or getting into it that don't spend a lot of time and focus on that. You still need your website, and the website's where it's at, and forget about this other stuff. But right. I think the social media is what's driving a lot of people.
Yeah, it'll drive you to the website. Everybody's doing the social media thing. When they click on, they're not surfing the web. Everybody's surfing
the
LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Younger people, it's TikTok.
Right.
Older people like me, it's Facebook.
Right.
Well, my son Patrick, he does lawn care, and he advertises. He says his most effective money spent for advertisement is on Facebook.
Oh, well, yes.
Okay. He will
harness the power of Facebook. Now, before his lawn care.
Well, he gets to target his audience, too. The area where his ad will appear and the age group also, male and females. So there's lots of customizations, and it's not a lot of money either, but it's very effective.
Before his lawn care business, though, he didn't have any time for Facebook. It was for old people.
No, now he loves Facebook.
Yeah.
Because it's generating dollar signs. All of a sudden, he's an old fart like me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So our guest last night, this is how DC came to be our guest today.
Oh, yeah, this is a good story.
Uh-huh.
Our guest at 10:47 decided to email my booking agent who works from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday. But she's available to talk to anybody and email by email, like beyond the...
Yeah, but she's not checking her email at 11 p.m.
Now, and nor should she.
Right. But he had big plans.
Big plans. Now, this is after she received confirmation yesterday. Oh, yes. An enthusiastic, I'll be there. Yeah, can't wait. Sure. Looking forward to it. And then at 10:47, how does something change between noon and 10:47?
Well, somebody's not being honest. I think I'm smelling a little,
Well, they're in a big meeting.
Oh, big.
Huge.
Big.
Seems like it went from one extreme to the other. It was from yes, absolutely, can't wait to do the radio show to a big meeting and can't do your radio show.
Well, yesterday was a confirmation, right?
Yeah, sure.
But she booked this 2 weeks ago.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
And has multiple interactions with our guests during that 2 weeks. So, right. I mean, this didn't just come to be yesterday.
We're going to give you free exposure. We're going to talk about your business, maybe generate some business, but, they got big plans. They can't make the big show.
Well, that company
is a big disappointment. That's
is a big disappointment. Will not be. And another thing that happens is they have a chance of getting in front of 40 different realtors. Constantly we are being asked in our profession, people that I don't even know call from a radio show and say, who do you recommend for this, that, and the other thing?
Sure. Yeah.
So, and I'll give out names. I usually give out three names when I recommend a service or a contractor or bank or
inspector,
lawyer,
anything.
And so when that happens and they call for a recommendation, these people won't be recommended because obviously they're not reliable.
They're on the do not fly list.
Right. Yeah. So the flyers, the beautiful flyers that were made up that had to cost money are in the
trash.
In the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The circular file.
In the circular file, yes.
That's it.
Okay, what do we got?
It's very disappointing.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Very, very disappointing. Because here we are to record on a couple different topics, and we're just going to wing it today, people. We're winging it.
Jackie, you're very good at this. You have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
No, you have knowledge. You always sell yourself short. You have knowledge. You have information. You have the experience.
One thing I want to talk about, people, is this. This recently happened. Sellers, whether you have your house on the market right now or you will have it on in the future, please listen. This is a free piece of advice.
A free tip from Jackie Reddy.
This is a public service announcement. Do not shut off your utilities.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. Do not shut off your utilities. Do not.
Before closing.
Right.
Okay? The agreement is, let's talk about this. Agreement of sale says utilities shall be on for all inspections. Buyers afforded 2 walkthrough inspections, final walkthroughs. Why are they given 2? I mean, you can grant them 10, but they have at least a minimum of 2. Because there are a lot of things that delay closings.
Okay.
A ton of things that can delay closings. Whether it's the attorney, whether it's, you know, and scheduling conflicts and the bank and this and that and clear to close.
Appraisals. Anything.
Buyer's work schedule. There are so many things that have to come together to make a closing happen. But before the closing, the buyer, usually most buyers want a final walkthrough. We also call it a pre-settlement inspection. They go there to determine that everything is in proper working order. What's supposed to be working is working, nothing else. Like there's no leaks, the heat works, the lights go on, the water runs, the toilet flushes, all of that. Whether it's 90 degrees out, we check the heat, you know, so we always make sure that these systems are operational and functional, unless it was negotiated otherwise, like a foreclosure or something like that. But when a seller calls up, and most of our agents are on this, from the listing, sit down at the listing at the kitchen table to the closing, do not call the utility companies. Don't even call them to say you're going to close in a week. Don't even look at the utilities company's phone number. Don't. Don't think about it.
Okay.
Because if you were to call and say, I'm closing on my house next Tuesday, but I just want to let you know the buyer will be calling to transfer. Guess what? Especially the water company does.
They come out and turn it off.
Immediately.
And then they charge you to turn it back on, but they don't do it for
a
few days.
Turn on is more expensive than transfer.
Yes, they could just transfer it. Transfer from one name to the other. So tell me the story. What happened?
Call the utility company today and say that you have a life-threatening situation and the water's off, and tell them you have a life-threatening situation and you need the water turned on. Guess what happens?
They'll put you on a list. Well, they'll say,
You're on a list.
You're on the list.
And we'll get there when we get there. And it might be next week. I mean, seriously.
They're terrible.
But they run right out. They have the manpower to do that. Okay. So what happened? Sellers called because the closing was supposed to be Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Wednesday. It was pushed to Friday because of the buyer. Buyer goes to the walkthrough on Friday, can't turn on the power, can't run the heat, can't flush the toilets, can't look and see it. So the Friday closing now becomes a Monday closing. Seller, get the utilities back on. I have to make sure everything is operational and functions in its intended capacity, and then I'll close. Seller had to recall all the utility companies, turn it back on, and then the closing was on Monday afternoon. The walkthrough was supposed to be at 2. The buyer decides to get there at 4. We had sellers in another state across the country that were sitting on pens and needles since Friday, but if they did not call the utility companies before the Wednesday closing, it would not have been delayed until Monday.
People create their own problems. They're so nervous. They're so anxious. Oh, I got to do this. Well, what's going to happen? Well, what if? If my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a bicycle. You know, what do you mean, what if? All these what ifs.
I've had sellers sit at a closing table at 4:30 on a Friday and said, well, I absolutely had to call because I'm not holding the utilities in my name all weekend. What if they run the water all weekend? My response to that is very calmly, no reasonable person on this planet is going to turn the water faucet on.
And leave it running?
And leave it running.
All weekend.
That's
a what if. That's someone who worries and creates too many problems.
Okay.
And the world is full of it.
Well, so you hear this. Here's the problem, sellers, about that 4:30 closing on a Friday afternoon.
The attorney's golfing.
Well, no.
The bank is golfing.
No, somebody's golfing. Not the people we use, but here's the thing that happens. The buyer doesn't own the property until after five. So if the buyer doesn't own the property, they can't put the utilities in their name. So just risk it. Right?
Right.
And some of them will go back if you send them the settlement statement, you show that it did close on Friday. Some of them will give a credit back. Some will.
Some utility companies.
Some utility companies will. Some say, no, we don't do that. But, I mean, it really just does depend, but just
have
please.
A little faith and have a little faith.
And humanity.
In the process.
But they just, and especially in the winter, sellers who shut off water, lights, and
gas
and heat, they're asking for problems.
Oh, big problems. Mm-hmm. Big problems.
I think people start, they start WebMD-ing their situation going, oh, I just thought of something. I better Google that and see what people do in this situation. And they start going, oh, should I turn off utilities, you know, the day before the closing or should I call the day before the closing? And they'll find something that'll tell them, yes, definitely call, you know, the day before the closing, because then it'll be off by the time the closing. And you can't do that.
Sellers cannot call before buyer calls. Period. Yeah. Buyer has to call first. Yeah. Now, if the seller wants to call Monday morning at exactly 9 a.m., 8:59, or whatever time the utility companies open, and say, I no longer own this house, and then the buyer didn't call yet, so be it. Yeah. They're on their own. Their agent should have told them, get the utilities into your name, right?
Right, absolutely. That's part of a realtor's...
But this causes so much chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos.
Yeah, I believe it.
Chaos, anxiety, unnecessary expense that they had to incur for shutting it off and turning it back on.
Well, not only that, I mean...
And they're worried about a few gallons?
This actually ended well, this situation we just had, but there are times it doesn't. You know, there's times it doesn't. Like, the buyer's just on that thin ice... And
right.
they just...
They're having second thoughts. They're having nervous second thoughts. Some buyer's remorse. And
their
just,
father, who bought a house in 1965, is telling them they shouldn't be paying market price, you know, that sort of thing. It's going to happen where it blows up.
Yep. Yep. So the moral of the story is...
Do not turn your utilities off before closing. Did I say that enough?
I think you should. I think you got it covered.
No, I mean, it's very good advice. Even if I'm not your realtor, and I think if there's any realtors out there from other companies listening to this, I bet they've been there, done that.
Right. They're all shaking their heads right now. Everybody in their car driving around is, yep, been there, done that.
And I would love to hear from somebody that doesn't agree with this. Go ahead. Give me a call, please. I'll listen to your side. But it doesn't usually work out well. All right. I got some lists.
Okay, give me. I love your lists.
Top 10 zip codes with the most expensive real estate in the country. And this is based on Realtor.com's analysis. How about we do it after the break? We're headed towards the break in just a minute. Think about those zip codes, Pat. This week's sponsor is 1031 Corp. We love 1031 Corp because they help real estate investors defer capital gains when selling and reinvesting in business use or investment property. 1031 Corp is the middleman you need to help you complete a 1031 exchange. And for over three decades, they have mastered how to keep the exchange process easy. Their exchange experts will educate on 1031 exchanges, review your situation, and walk you through the entire process. If you own an investment or business property, whether it is residential or commercial, contact 1031 Corp. You can learn how to exchange into a property that works better for you while deferring the capital gains and depreciation recapture so that you keep your hard-earned equity working in your next property. They can be reached by calling 1-800-828-1031 or visit 1031corp.com. Pat, do you have a listing for me?
Yes, we have a beautiful 7-bathroom, 5-bath, 6,400-square-foot home at 294 Elmhurst Boulevard in Dunmore for $399,000. This might be a little bit too big for you, DC. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, all right.
This magnificent home sits on a half acre of land. It's got a large detached two-car garage. The home was built in the 1920s, and it has amazing woodwork and hardwood flooring. The modern kitchen has granite countertops, custom built-ins. It has multiple fireplaces and pocket doors. It's only a minute from Lake Scranton, and it has a beautiful wraparound porch with stained glass windows. That's an amazing seven-bedroom, five-bath home at 294 Elmhurst Boulevard in Dunmore for $399,000, and that's listed by Naomi Grant and Nicole Clark of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Hold on for more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 The Talker. We're going for a brief pause.
Home. It's more than just walls and a roof. It's where laughter echoes, where memories are made, and where life truly happens. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we know that finding the right home isn't just about real estate. It's about finding your place in the world. With trusted agents, unmatched experience, and a commitment to your dreams, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Because at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we're not just selling houses, we're delivering the joy of home. Find your perfect home today. Call 570-344-6724 or go to jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Dream big. Move boldly. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. This is where we talk about issues and topics that matter to homeowners, buyers, and sellers. We break it all down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
I'm Jackie Ready Broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor, and our CEO, Chief Editing Officer, DC Taylor.
Hi.
How
yes.
are you?
All right. Pleasure. Well, nice to be here.
Yeah. Sure, DC. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
Another wow. day at the salt mine.
Uh-huh. Wow, I'm just now pulling up the listing you just did right before the break. Wow. Seven bedrooms, five bathrooms.
Oh yeah, it's a slammer. It's a beautiful home.
Wow.
Communal wow. living. Don't you want a few roommates?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. A few roommates. Yeah, let's bring the whole family in.
Yeah.
It's a party.
Oh, it's got a safe in the basement, too, like a room that's with the big door. If you look, that's a safe. So that's where you can hide the body. If you kill your in-laws, you can put them in the safe and lock it.
In life, there's often people that, want what they can't have, right? I'm one of them. Sometimes, especially when I was younger, not so much now. We always want what we can't have, right?
Right. You wanted to live in New York City.
I wanted to live in New York City. That didn't happen.
And I wanted to get out of New York City.
And you wanted to date Christie Brinkley.
No,
and
I
that
wanted to
didn't
date you.
Okay. Oh, isn't that sweet? Adorable. Now, I always wanted a big, big house in the location I am living.
Right. And what do you have?
I have a huge house that's too big for us, and I want a quieter location.
Mm. Should go down the Jersey Shore.
No.
Let's go to Avalon.
Oh, yeah, the Jersey Shore.
Let's go to Avalon. It's
this
nice
time
and quiet.
Of year, yeah.
It's quiet in the winter.
That's more my speed.
Right. Okay.
All right.
The wind whips down there.
So somebody out there wants a grand home, large, seven-bedroom home.
Right.
Here's your chance.
There you go.
Lots of clean.
Yeah, it's got a second kitchen, too. It's really, it's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Right before the break, I mentioned the top 10 zip codes.
Yes. What are they?
With the most expensive real estate. This is from Realtor.com.
Does it start with a zero? No? No zeros?
Let's see. I'm looking through the list.
Nope.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
No zeros. Mostly start with a nine.
Nine. Where is that, California?
You got it.
Yep.
You got it.
Yeah, zip codes. They start at the zeros, in Maine, and it goes from east to west, and the highest numbers are on the West Coast.
You know what I thought before I read through the list was Hawaii. That's where I thought I'd see most of them, and there's not that Didn't make top 10. So let's go through the list. Number one, Newport Coast, California. Median list price, $12.5 million.
Median list price.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Florida, Fisher Island is number two. Just under $12 million is the median list price there. Number three, you guys can guess this. I'll give you a hint.
Hollywood.
Beverly Hills.
See, they're in the right there.
You're in that neighborhood.
90210.
Four.
There you go, 90210.
Yes. That's yes. 90210.
You win. You win.
Four is Bridgehampton, New York. Five, Bel Air, California. Wasn't there a sitcom?
Yeah, Fresh, the Prince of Bel Air.
Yeah, I liked that. That was
and
cute.
The Hamptons, you said, was the previous one? Bridgehampton.
Bridgehampton.
Okay. Down in the island.
A median list price, $8.8
million. Okay.
Six, Watermill, New York. Just under $7 million median list price.
Okay, I don't know where that is.
Santa Barbara.
I know where that is.
California, seven. Rancho Santa Fe, California is eight. Newport Beach, California is nine. Paradise Valley, Arizona is 10.
Wow.
That's only $5.5 million.
Oh, the ghetto.
That's all.
Yes, the ghetto
mansions.
Of zip codes.
Is there something searchable where I could say, like, I'd like a median list price between, let's say, 100 and 150,000? Give me the zip codes for that.
Okay. It'll be someplace in South America.
All right. Fine.
I have a list.
Yeah.
I have a list. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
20 cheapest states to buy a house in 2026. This is more your speed, right?
Yes.
This is your lane?
Yeah.
By Narada Investments. Okay, number one, Iowa. You're going to have to move, D.C., and I'm not willing to see you move.
Iowa's number one?
There's a couple lists out there. This just happens to be the list I have in front of me.
This is the cheapest.
This is the cheapest states to buy. Okay. So anybody out there looking for cheap, and doesn't mind moving? Number one, Iowa.
Flat.
Two, Ohio.
Okay.
Three, Oklahoma. Four, West Virginia.
Okay.
Five, Michigan. Six, Louisiana. Seven, Mississippi. Eight, Arkansas. Nine, Indiana. 10, Missouri. 11, Kentucky. 12, Kansas. 13, North Dakota. 14, Alabama. 15, Pennsylvania.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay.
So maybe you don't have to move.
Maybe not.
16, Illinois. 17, Nebraska. 18, Wisconsin. 19, South Dakota. 20. This surprises me. It may not or may surprise you. Tell me if it surprises you.
Yeah.
20, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Texas cheap, huh?
Yeah, well, it's so huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's pockets, different areas.
Okay, all right.
I'd say.
Its own country, it's so big.
Yeah.
All right, anything hit you there? And it goes on to explain why, Iowa, for instance, number one, has heartland charm and wallet-friendly living. So
nice.
But let's read between the lines. It's cheap.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Might have a long commute to work.
You could do it remote, can't you? Remote work is dying. But, I think a lot of people.
Flat as a board out there, though, right? There's no hills or anything out there.
Right.
Could be a good farmer.
Mm. All right. Well, we're winding down. Do you have a listing?
Yes. We have a hidden gem of a home, a four-bedroom, two-bath in the Green Ridge section of Scranton at 2220 Boulevard Avenue for $264,000. This home has character and plenty of updates. The outside features an above-ground pool with a deck, a hot tub, a large pagoda area, and a small pond. This home has hardwood floors, French doors, and pocket doors, plenty of closet space. It also has an updated kitchen and baths along with new plumbing. That's a four-bedroom, two-bath home at 2220 Boulevard Avenue in Scranton for $264,000. And that's listed by James Caceres of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And if I don't leave you with anything else today, I hope I don't leave anybody with a resentment talking about all those utilities. There's one thing I do want everybody out there to listen to me about today. What is it?
Don't turn your utilities off.
You listen to me.
Of course I do.
No, not usually.
Always.
DC, what do you say? What's the one point to this radio show today.
Don't sellers, don't turn off your utilities.
Please.
Please.
Yes. Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate, and 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be back in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Have a terrific week.